Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
To bring your Bible. I love to hear the sound of Bible pages turning. That sounded wonderful this morning. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7, if you found it, shout hallelujah. The Word of God says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things say he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts and no man opens. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door." Someone shout open door. And it says, "And no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name." This morning we're going to be ministering a topic simply entitled, "The Doorkeeper." Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity. And let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for the reading of your word. Let it go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And Holy Spirit, we are so grateful that you're here. Continue to lead and guide and direct us. Bring all things back to our remembrance, whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written. Give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. And when we leave this place, we'll bear much fruit and continue to operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray and everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. Let me begin this first segment. This first segment is entitled Keys. Let me ask you this question. How many this morning are waiting for an open door? Just someone open your hands or raise your hand. You're just waiting for an open door. How many would like God, and I'm talking about God, Him Himself, God, how many would like God to open the door for you? Just raise your hand. Hold it up high. I really believe that God is speaking to Gospel Lighthouse Church. So we're talking about a doorkeeper. Have you ever thought about what is a doorkeeper? One of the greatest doorkeepers I ever met was a man by the name of Gene Sullivan. He was a great man of God. Many of you remember him. Many of you known him. Many of you loved him. And I miss him very much. And I can always see him standing in the foyer, holding the bulletins. And when I would fold the bulletins and I have them in a certain order, he always mixed them up and put them in a different order. I said, "What are you doing?" But I would always remember him. Either when it was rainy, he had the mop out. He was cleaning the floor, the foyer to walk through. He was always shaking hands with everyone. He's a wonderful man of God, a doorkeeper. And that's who I think of a lot of times, a doorkeeper. But I want to talk to you as a believer because it's important right now for us all to understand this concept. Who is our doorkeeper? Who is our, as a believer, who is our doorkeeper? Years ago, I worked at Hendricks College, a very well-known private college in Conway, Arkansas. I worked there for almost a year and a half. I did everything at this college. I did everything from delivering mail. I hauled trash. I even on Mondays, like tomorrow, some days I'll go out and I'll talk to the boys that are hauling the trash and I'll help them because I know what it was like every day to haul the trash. And to talk about hauled garbage. Every morning, garbage filled to the top of the truck at this college. I know what it's like hauling trash. I went from delivering food. I moved chemistry equipment. I even was in charge of setting up for special events. The biggest, obviously, was graduation day when there was a couple of thousand chairs that had to be set up and all these things that we had to do. But I'll never forget this, and my wife can remember this. We were newlyweds, and one Monday morning I was asked to meet with the department head and my direct supervisor. I was shocked to find out that my direct supervisor was leaving the department. And the department head, he was basically, as we sit at this round table together in this private room, he was handing me this direct supervisor's job. He was handing me this job. I was floored when that took place. And I had only been working there for a few months, maybe, or a few weeks, maybe even a month. I hadn't been there very long. And to make matters a little more challenging, there was actually going to be a huge event scheduled for that Saturday. This was Monday. There was a great, huge event, one of the larger events they had throughout the year that Saturday. And I was, that part of my job, I was required to prepare for this event that hosted almost 1,000 people. And I had to be the one to kind of make the call. Is it going to be indoors or is it going to be outdoors? I'll never forget the night praying, and my wife, I'll never forget this, my bride, she just put her arm over me and just prayed for me, because I was really struggling about this new position. But to make matters worse, and this whole idea, there was a chance of rain. And so here I am trying to think, what am I going to do? And my department head, during this private meeting, he looked at me and he asked me this question, Sister Haley. He asked me, he says, "Do you think you can handle it?" And this is how I responded. I said, "I'm going to need some keys, because the job I had required me to be able to have access to every door, from the president's home to every door, the dorms, the computer rooms, IT, everywhere. My job required me to have a key to every one of those doors." So, I mean, you can imagine the number of keys. And I'll never forget this. I said, I'm going to need some keys. And then my direct supervisor did this. In anger, he threw up a large set of keys. It had so many keys on it. He threw them up on the table in anger, and this is what he said. He said, "Here, you figure it out." That was the last conversation I ever had with this gentleman. Just threw them on my table. And so that week, I learned two of the greatest lessons that I've learned in my life. Number one is trust God in all things. I had to learn to trust God on the fly in a position that was overwhelming. I had to learn to trust God. And just to make the story short, just God blessed me. He favored me. He really blessed me. In fact, because of some of this that I went through, I was even given an employee of the month. I mean, it was a blessing. The second thing I learned is this, and this is what I want to talk about. Doors do you no good if you don't have keys. Doors will do you no good if you don't have the keys. In fact, if you don't have the right keys. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the doorkeeper. When is the last time that you've lost your keys? Anybody ever lost their keys before? I know, Pastor Carl, you need to raise both hands and both feet. When is the last time that you broke a key off in your door? Have you ever done that? The vulnerable feeling that happens when you do that, you break your key off. Let me ask you this question. When is the last time that you locked your keys in your car? Anybody ever done that? We've all went through, and I can tell story after story. But I thought about this because there were times that I was up at a property one day, and it was during hunting season, and I locked my keys in my truck at the fuel station. I don't know why. I guess I was tired, and I had no way of getting. I didn't have another pair, so I had a we had to get a policeman, had to get a locksmith to come, and it took about 2 hours for all this to take place to get my keys to my truck unlocked. They tried to break the window. They did all these things. Then I thought about that situation. I wondered how difficult it must be then to just be a locksmith. I wonder how difficult it is to be a locksmith. We've had a locksmith come a few years back and changed all the locks out in our facility, in our campus. And I thought to myself, I wonder how hard that has to be to have, to be able to, because it's such an intricate job. I mean, things have to be set just right. And especially nowadays when there's a lot of technology and a lot of and the security and all the things that go on. And I thought about that. So here's three things I want to talk to you about. Number one, and it's going to be on your screen. Locksmiths are constant problem solvers. They're constant problem solvers. Every lock is different. The locksmith must have critical thinking skills to diagnose the unique mechanical or electrical problems right on the spot. So they're constant problem solvers. Number two, locksmiths are always on call. Think about that. I mean, in the middle of the night, maybe a business needs some help and emergencies, they happen all the time. And being on call can be mentally, can be emotionally, and even physically taxing. And I think this is important. Also, number three is this. Locksmiths must stay up to date with technology advancements. They have to. I mean, because there's a lot of things that go on with these new locks, security systems. They're constantly evolving and becoming more complex. And so I thought about the work and how, you know, how tenacious then a locksmith must be when he is intricately working and doing the things that he's called to. And then I thought about the doorkeeper. Who is our doorkeeper? Jesus in the book of Revelation is described as our doorkeeper. In fact, this is how he's described, Pastor Carl. Jesus is described the doorkeeper having the key of David. Have you ever thought about what is the key of David? What are they talking about here? In the book of Isaiah 22 and verse 22, and it's going to be on your screen, the Bible says, "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder," meaning Jesus' shoulder. "So he shall open," look what it says, "and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open." Does not sound familiar to you? It's exactly, Isaiah is repeat or actually describing what Revelation is saying. It's the same thing that Jesus, our doorkeeper, has access. He is the doorkeeper. He has the key of David. And he will open up a door that needs to be opened, but then he will shut a door that doesn't need to be opened. And this is very important for you right now, because I know some of you are looking for an open door in your life. You want to be in the right place. You want to be in the right door. Yet, there are some doors that are counterfeit doors that want to cause you to go in the wrong direction and make the wrong choice and make the wrong move that could alter your destiny, that could even possibly set you back a decade in your life. And so this is why this is so important. But before I disclose the key of the house of David, I want to expose a truth. And this truth is this. There are doors that are meant to be open, and there are doors that are meant to remain shut. One of the doors that was shut was a door in Noah's ark. God, the Bible says, God shut the door. We're living in the last days, and I really believe that we're going to enter into a time when we're going to have to understand, is this a God thing, or is this a good thing, or is it the wrong thing? We're going to have to be able to have some discernment in our lives. And this is how you have discernment. You come to the house of God and you hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Not what Pastor JC is saying, but what the Holy Spirit in a collective way is saying to the corporate church. That anointing is important. That's why it's so important for us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. It's what he says over and over to these cities, these towns of Asia Minor, Philadelphia, Laodicea, Thyatira, Sardis, all of them. And he's saying to them, if anybody has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. I don't know about you today, but I'm not looking for entertainment. I'm not looking for a personality. I'm not looking for the greatest, latest author, the greatest, latest evangelist. I am wanting to hear what thus saith the Lord God has to say to my life. I want to hear from him. Isaiah 22, it says, "So he," meaning Jesus, "shall open, and none," think about that, "and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open." So this begs a question. What happens when a door opens to you that was meant to be shut? What happens when someone gets a key, perhaps even illegally, and has access to a door that was meant to be shut? Someone has stolen a key, or maybe manipulated somebody and took the keys, and they illegally have opened these doors that were meant to be shut. No one should have ever had access to it, but someone came and illegally opened this door. Let's talk about it in a metaphorical sense. Because in a metaphorical sense, illegal access to a door opens a pathway to destruction. It truly does. So this is why it's very cautious that we're walking in discernment. In fact, when you're talking about it metaphorically, this is the greatest example. The greatest example to someone illegally opening a door that should have never been opened is sin. Is sin. Sin illegally opened the door to hell and death. We're talking about it metaphorically now. Sin illegally. Man, Adam had no idea what sin would do, and now we know what sin does. The Bible is very clear. Sin always leads to death. And physical death and spiritual death. When Adam sinned, he forfeited something. He forfeited the keys to dominion. Not only earthly dominion, but I also see that he forfeited keys to spiritual dominion. When Adam sinned, that's what transgression does. It forfeits you the blessings of God. Thank God that we have a Savior. Amen? So Adam sinned, he forfeits the keys. Well, who gets the keys? Satan gets the keys. Satan takes the keys away from the devil. Now he has access. Illegally, somebody has access, and it's the devil. Now he has the keys when Adam sinned. Well, then we have all of this that took place called a redemptive covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful that Jesus went to the cross for us, aren't you? That greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen? Grateful for the plan of God in our life. And so the purpose of Jesus at Calvary was to do this, was to regain the keys that the devil stole illegally from Adam. That was one of the main objectives and purposes of Christ, to defeat death, hell, and the grave. Aren't you glad that we serve a risen Savior? Aren't you glad this morning that we serve a greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world type of Savior that loves us, not just casually, but that loves us in purpose and wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. Thank God. Look at your neighbor and say, hey neighbor, Jesus has the keys. So Jesus took the keys from the devil. This is what Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8 says. It's on your screen. It says, I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, everybody say behold, I am alive forever. Amen. And look what it says. And have the keys of hell and of death. That should be exciting to you today. We're talking about the doorkeeper this morning. Now, we've talked about this metaphorically. Now let's look at a euphemism. Because this euphemism, when you think of a door, is a euphemism. We could say, well, a door can also represent other things. It can be a portal. A door could be a gateway. A door could be a threshold, right? By definition, some of you who do not know what a euphemism is, it is the substitution of a mild, indirect, or a vague expression for one thought to be offensive, harsh, or blunt. One of the greatest in modern history, probably the most evil euphemism of all time, was Nazi Germany's Final Solution. They would use the Final Solution. It was a euphemism that described the plan to murder the world's Jews. That's the euphemism, right? An evil solution. Something that was trying to, trying to mild down, water down the expression of something blunt, something harsh, something offensive. Some of you are wondering right now, and I know you are, what does euphemism have to do with this message? Why does this matter? Why are you talking about doors? And why are you talking about portals? And why are you talking about thresholds? And why are you talking about gateways? Let me show you a scripture. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, a very familiar scripture. Let's look at the first part of this. It's on your screen. It says, my people, everybody say my people, are destroyed. How? By how? By lack of knowledge. Whose people? God's people. Who is God's people? That's you and I. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, that's you, baby. That's you and I, right? We are God's people. And God's people, the Bible says in Hosea, this is not only a prophecy or prediction. This is actual. God's people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. We need to get in the know. Amen? We need to have the Word of God in our hearts shut up like it should be. Like Jeremiah said, thy words of fire shut up in my bones. Amen? We need to be hungry and have a passion and desire for God's Word. I don't want to be lack of knowledge at all. How about you? He says his people are destroyed lack of knowledge. And so over 2 years ago, and I saw this in my notebooks. I keep these little notebooks. And I was looking back the other day, and over 2 years ago, the Lord had me write down this following thought. And the following thought was this: screens are portals. Screens are doorways. Screens are doors. And he says, from facial recognition, how many use facial recognition on your phone? From facial recognition to tap to pay, screens are portals. How many use tap to pay on your from your phone, right? Do you realize what that is? It's portals. And I'm not saying that you're full of the devil because you do that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not even alluding to that because I want to show you something very intriguing here. There's a new portal. A new portal that is taking the world by storm. Can anybody guess what it is? It doesn't look like it's very harmful. But when you begin to research this new portal, it is very destructive. And I'm going to talk about it right now. In the religious tradition of Santeria, Aguayamaya refers to the deity of ocean, motherhood, and life. Pay close attention. Aguayamaya is the spiritual cleansing and bath connected to honor the goddess Yamaya. Has anybody ever heard this before? Listen very closely. When Aguayamaya is chanted in the traditional ritual of Santeria, a portal is opened to the Orisha of the sea. Now, an Orisha or Orishas are spirits or messengers that act as intermediaries between a supreme authority and humanity and have distinct personalities used to navigate through life challenges. Santeria, some of you were thinking, what in the world is Santeria? Let me tell you what it is. It is basically a form of witchcraft. It has its roots in West Africa, and through the years it moved and became very popular in Cuba and in the Cuban culture. In fact, one of the famous Cuban songs has to do with this Aguayamaya. Agua, are you ready for this? It represents the number 6. Yamaya represents the number 7. Therefore, Aguayamaya represents 6-7. Has anybody ever heard of 6-7 before? Now we got all of them doing this, especially that my children, you know, Macy's age. It represents, Aguayamaya represents 6-7. This is interesting because all of a sudden the world is taken by storm with this 6-7 and not realizing that they are chanting a Santeria witchcraft chant saying Aguayamaya that is opening up portals. I will challenge some of the parents. I have the research. This is not about a basketball player. This is not about the first rapper that actually made this famous, who's involved in Santeria. He basically says that it's a pot, and you throw your Aguayamaya into a pot and you stir it up, and he says it's so easy to cast spells on people. I'll give you that information if you would like it. I would like to give that to the parents. If anybody's interested, I can send that to you. You do your own research. But this is not about a rapper. This is not about a basketball player. It's not about the millions of children that are doing 6-7. It has nothing to do with flesh and blood. It has everything to do with the principalities and the darkness and the spirits of this world that are trying to open portals in the minds of our children to manipulate their lives and keep them away from the truth of Jesus Christ. Thank God today, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Thank God that we have Holy Ghost fire preachers that will expose the truth, will expose the demonic powers of the enemy in these last days, and set up a hedge and say, no, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Just as the song said, we are not letting the devil come in and try to dismantle or detour or try to disrupt the destiny of the minds and the lives of our children and our family. Thank God that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against us, we shall be victorious because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Well, some might think, and put this on your screen, Caleb. Some might think, well, what's so wrong with 6-7? This is my response. What may seem innocuous may actually be insidious. What may seem harmless may actually be very evil. My point is simple. This is the danger of keys being in the wrong hands. You wouldn't just give anybody the key to your house or the key to your car. I wouldn't just give anybody the key to the church. I wouldn't give them access to private, very guarded material in my life. Would you? This is what happens when the keys fall into the wrong hands. But look at Matthew. I got some good news here. Look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. It's on your screen. It says, this is Jesus talking, and I will give unto you what? I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. How many want the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Jesus says, I'll give them to you, and whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You have authority this morning. God has given you access and the keys to the kingdom. Will you use them for His glory? Time to march around your neighborhood, march around your job, march around the community, march around your home, and start binding the devil and start commanding and taking authority back and say, devil, you do not belong. This is holy ground. This is God's place, and you have no access. You're illegally trespassing against us, the child of the Most High. You are commanded to leave in the name of Jesus. My Almighty, this is good preaching. How many of you have a set of keys on you right now? Hold them up. Hold them up if you have a set of keys. Carl, I hope you can find your keys. There you go. You did it. You got them. Now, I want you to do this. I want you to look at your keys very closely. Look at each one of them. Notice the curves. Notice the particular cuts. Notice the color. Notice the weight. Notice the size. I want you to see this. Maybe look at someone else's keys. Compare them. Look at this. Every key is different. Every key is different. But notice this too, Sister Courtney. Just as every key is different, every lock is different. Every lock. And guess what? Just as every key is different, every lock is different. Are you ready for this? Every door is different. God has doors designated, purposely designed for your life. How many can say, I want to go through the right door? I want to go through the right door. Some of you, and I'm going to say this real clearly. I want to coruscate this next thought, because when I typed this out, chills were all over me. Here it goes. Some of you are waiting on God to open a door. Some of you today are wondering, is the door before you a good thing, a God thing, or a wrong thing? But unfortunately, some of you, you simply have lost your keys. God wants you to get your keys back. Time to get your keys back. Whatever the case, this is what I'm here to tell you this. God's got this. You may have lost your keys. You may have confused door number one, door number two, door number three. I don't know. But know this. Right now in the season of your life, my God has you covered. God's got this. He is in control. All He wants you to do is trust Him. Trust Him with the decisions in your life, because He's going to lead you in the right way. The Word tells us the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Now, this is my life point. And Pastor Crystal, you had no idea. When you said this during worship, I just like, wow. Here's my life point. Put it on your screen. My life point is simple. God is in the details. God is in the details. Just like Pastor Crystal said to you this morning, God is in He knows all the details of your life. God is in the details, folks. Just the curvatures of that key, the weight of that key, the color of that key, whatever it is, the intricate things of that key, God is in the details of your life. Look at Revelation chapter 3. It said, "And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he unto the holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know thy works have behold, I have set before thee an open door." Everybody shout, open door. "And no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." That describes some people in this room. You have little strength to just even get there, but God is with you because God is in the details. I told you earlier that I would explain the key of David. Let me just give it to you right now. The theological significance of the key of David is this. It's the symbol that Christ has supreme authority as the mediator between God and humanity. Jesus is our forever key. He has the key of David. It is the belief that our access to salvation, our access to the blessings, the protection, the provision of God, of His kingdom, are determined by the doorkeeper, Jesus Christ. Not only is He a lawyer, Levi, an advocate to the Father, but He is also a doorkeeper. And that's what's so beautiful about Christ. God is in the details. So let's quickly discover three keys the doorkeeper has access to. How many's ready to go a little further? If you are, say, "I'm ready." Number one, the doorkeeper, his keys have access to, and it's on your screen, the royal court. Every palace, Pastor Carl, has a royal court. The royal court is an extension of a monarch, and it acts as a social, the political, and the judicial center of the kingdom. And because of the work of Jesus as believers, we have been given access to royalty. We have access to this royal court. If you look at the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, again on your screen, the next few verses will be, it says, "And if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed," and look what it says, "and heirs according to the promise." Look at Titus 3 and 7. It says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs. Everybody say heirs. Heirs according to what? To the hope of eternal life. How many are glad that we are heirs to the kingdom? That's access to the royal court. We're heirs to the kingdom. That's access to the extension of the monarch, acting as a social, political, even a judicial center of the kingdom. But when you think about heirs to the kingdom, look at this verse. Romans 8, 17 and verse 18. It says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." But look what's next. "If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Next verse, verse 18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Now, let me ask you a question. How many are still glad that you're heirs to the kingdom of God? There's a lot less than there was before. Because it's that thought of suffering with Christ. Nobody wants to go through suffering. But being a joint heir with Christ, we're going to go through some suffering. We're going to have struggles. Now, this is the reason I'm saying that. Some of you are waiting for an open door and you're thinking, well, that open door is going to be a freedom from struggle, freedom from pain, freedom from suffering. That's not always the case. Some of you are wanting to be in the perfect will of God and you think, well, if I'm in the perfect will of God, I don't have to worry about being afraid. I don't have to worry about being angry. I don't have to worry about the works of the flesh and the temptation. Listen, just being in the will of God, that doesn't mean you're going to escape all these things. It means that you are joint heirs with Christ and you're going to suffer with Christ. But know this, the sufferings of the present time shall not be worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. You're going to suffer, but you're doing it for the right cause and the right person. Amen. Give God a good hand clap. Number two, the keys the doorkeeper has, you have access to the King. Everybody say the King. It's not Elvis, not Michael Jackson or LeBron James, right? The King is Jesus. There's nothing, Sister Linda Wallen, more satisfying than knowing that we have access to the King. We have access to the King. Think about that. Right now, you and I have access to the King, King Jesus. Look at Hebrews 4 and verse 16. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Boldly come to the throne of grace. Hebrews 10 verse 19 through 21 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of the blood of Jesus by new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest of the house of God." We see this. It's beautiful that because of the redemptive covenant of Christ Jesus, he's given us access to himself, to the King. I'm not having to depend on a high priest once a year on Yom Kippur to come and sprinkle blood just to roll the sins forward. No, I can come through my high priest, Jesus Christ, and have access to him every time I need him. It's so beautiful to think of this. Look at your neighbor and tell him, "Hey neighbor, Jesus is the key." Listen, not only does Jesus have the keys, but Jesus is the key. Last one, number three, the King's treasury. Everybody say the King's treasury. Not only do we have access to the royal court, access to the King, we also have access to the King's treasury. And I love this one. Why? Because the King's treasury is a storehouse that contains all that we ever need. Everything you need. Like, I hear Pastor Carl steal my saying sometimes, but he says, God will always take care of our need, but never our greed. And that's what God does. He takes care of our need. Amen. You may be needy, but don't be greedy. Look at your neighbor and ask them, "Hey neighbor, are you greedy?" Some of you may be greedy, but some of you are needy. God's going to take care of your need, but not of your greed. Look at Philippians 4:19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He's going to take care of your need. Lindsay's going to take care of your need. Going into your wedding, I mean, I'll look back at our lives, and when I proposed to my beautiful wife, February 14th, 1996, is that right? Making sure. In Conway, took her to the hill right there behind the McDonald's. Some of you know where that's at. I got on one knee and I looked up and I played a song on my trombone. Then I played another song on cassette player. Some of you don't even know what a cassette player is. But anyway, I knelt down and I mean, with all my heart, got this ring and I handed it to her. And I said, "Will you do me the honor of being my wife?" And you know what she did? She walked off about 20 yards. She said, "Just a minute." And I thought, great. I'm on one knee, so I just kind of froze. I peeked over, see if maybe this is a joke or something. And she looked up into heaven, and she just prayed. And she came back and said, "Yes, I will." And it was so beautiful. And yeah, my heart's racing. And because I always told her, "I'm just going to ask you one time." And thank God she said yes. Thank God she said yes. We drive down to Sonic. That's where all new fiancés go, right? We go to Sonic and we're celebrating. But I asked her when I didn't have a job. Her parents were like, "What on earth are you doing?" She's in college and I'm in between jobs, but I'm also evangelizing. But God, I had to trust that God is going to meet every need. I'll never forget this. It was in 2019. Our family took a trip through the Rocky Mountains up to Grand to the Great Teton National Park up through Yellowstone. It was a trip I took when I was 10 years old with my family, and I wanted to take my family, my current family, through the same trip I took. I'll never forget this. We were in central Colorado. We were going up Monarch Pass, a very high mountain through there, and where they do a lot of skiing and stuff in there. And never forget this. You remember this? A bighorn ram, majestically stood on the side of the road as we passed by. I took my camera, I tried to film as best I could. Majestic. If you ever seen a bighorn ram, muscular. I mean, big, and like it was so massive. I'll never forget this. And as we went by, the Lord spoke to me right then and there, and he said, just as I provided a ram for Abraham and Isaac, I will always provide for you. I needed to hear that. I needed to see that bighorn ram, because there have been times in the last 4 years now that I've needed God to provide for me. He does. Just sometimes out of nowhere, God provides. God provides for me. Some of you this morning, you're on the threshold. You're on the doorstep of a major breakthrough in your life that is going to bring you promotion. Some of you don't even know that right now. You're at the doorstep of a breakthrough, of promotion. You need the doorkeeper in your life. But I'll tell you this, it's not going to happen without a fight. It's not going to happen easy. Sometimes some things aren't just easy. I wish they were at times. But it's not going to happen without a fight. The devil is going to fight every step. Just like he, with this message, fought me through the last couple of days. Every step, this message, he's going to fight. The devil's going to fight you, because he doesn't want you to be promoted in God's kingdom. He doesn't want you to go through the door. He doesn't want you to even meet the doorkeeper in your life. So how do I apply this to my life? Remember this life point. God, Sister Charlotte, God is in the details. He is in the details. Some of you are looking at your bank account and you're thinking, how are we going to make it? Some of you in your businesses, how are we going to move to the next month, this quarter? Are we going to be positive in this quarter? And so even in the church finances, or even in your own life, at your job, or some of you at school, and you look and you see all the holes in this plan, in this strategy, and you're thinking, how's this all going to work together? And I would tell you, all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. God is in the details. You may not see it. You may not feel it. But God is in the details. He is in the details. Listen to this. Life is not determined by what you're in. Some of you may be in a struggle in your life. And I had to learn this lesson a year ago. Life is not determined what you're going through right now, the storm you're going through. Life is not determined by the what. Life is determined by the who. Jesus is the who. He is the doorkeeper. And He, I will tell you right now, is determining your outcome for your life. He will say to you right now, if He was standing before you, He would say this. He said that the work that He's begun in your life, He is going to complete it. He is going to fulfill it. And you're going to go through in flying colors. And it may be a fire, but you're coming out with not even the smell of smoke on your life. He is your fourth man. He is your keeper, the doorkeeper. He is your Alpha, the Omega. He is your Aleph, your Tav. He is your beginning and your end. He is everything you need Him to be. All you need to know that He is ordering your steps. He's going before you. All you have to do is trust the doorkeeper this morning. Some of you, you are so focused on the door. Some of you are so focused on the keys that you're losing sight of the doorkeeper. Can you just wrap your loving arms around the doorkeeper this morning and say, God, I trust you with the details of my life. There's doors all over. There's keys all over. But I'm giving it to you, God, because I know you're going to work it out. Whatever happens, happens. But God, you are my shepherd, and I'm hearing your voice. lead me to the places that you want me to go. Can you stand to your feet this morning and give God the praise that He deserves? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody shout. If you've got to shout in the hallway till your door opens, then I would say shout right now. Shout, shout the voice of triumph. Give God the glory and all the praise. Hallelujah. I know some of you, your praise is going to unleash the miraculous. I can see it right now, a Paul and Silas in a dark dungeon room, but you have yourself back to the wall and you're thinking, how am I going to get out of this mess? And God says, just give me some praise. And you start praising, you start shouting, and all of a sudden, the Father in heaven, the God of heaven, hears the song you're singing, and then He begins to tap His foot, and He's hearing the song you're singing, and before you know it, you feel a shaking, an earthquake takes place. Why was there an earthquake? Because a God of the universe is stomping His foot, because He says in His word, the earth is His footstool. And you're causing an earthquake to shake the very foundations of your life. Somebody give Him some praise. My, oh my. Don't lose sight of the doorkeeper. Let me show you why. Look at Revelation 3 and 20, and I'm closing. It says, behold, this is Jesus speaking. Should be on your screen. Behold. Everybody say, behold. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear, knows what He says. He doesn't say, if any man hear my knock. He says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and he will sup with him, and will sup with him, and he with me. In other words, I'll have dinner, I'll have fellowship with him if he hears my voice and opens his door. But think about this: until you hear His voice, you will never become a voice. Until you act upon the voice of God, you will never step through the doors that God has for you. Is God speaking to you today? Is His voice speaking to you right now? Is He calling you? Do you feel a tug? Before we can move and proceed any further, we must open our door to Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, the anointing is so strong in this place. The anointing is so powerful. But before I move any further, before I proceed, I know, Father, today, under the sound of my voice, people haven't opened the door to Christ. And You're calling people right now to open their door to Jesus. Hear His voice. He's calling. He's at the doorstep, and He's calling for you to open the door. And you're the doorkeeper. You're the doorkeeper. You've got to open the door to Christ. While your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, with an uplifted hand, say, Pastor JC, I want to open the door to Jesus right now. I want to make Him my personal Savior. I want to open the door to Him. With an uplifted hand, say, pray for me. I see your hands. I see hands in this room. There's hands all in this room. I want to open the door to Christ. I want you to do this. I want you to... Just those of you that raised your hand, I want you to take a second step of publicly affirming and saying, I need Christ as my doorkeeper. If you raise your hand, I want you to come and kneel at these altars. It's not about coming to meet Pastor JC. It's coming about me. There's people coming all through these aisles. It's about meeting Christ. I have nothing to do with this. I'm only a mouthpiece. But you raise your hand. You say, I want Jesus to be my doorkeeper. Will you come to these altars? Will you come? Maybe you're standing beside somebody and you say, will you go down with me? Go down with them. Go down. We're family here. Go down with them. But will you find a place at these altars and will you pray? I'm going to ask our prayer warriors to come. And I want you, Pastor Jane, Pastor Carl, some of you that will come, Sister Linda, Sister Courtney, some of you will come, and I want you to pray. Some of them are praying the sinner's prayer. Some of them are needing God for answers. But I want you to pray with them in sincerity and in truth and love. Pray with them.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.